HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Welcome to HealthyLife.net and to Beyond Words Publishing. I'm Richard Cohn, your host today. We are very, very thrilled to be able to talk today with Kelly T. Smith, who is a multifaceted woman, the creator of the Intuitive Life Coaching Oracle, among other decks as well. And Kelly's mission in life is to help people realize their fullest potential and to also to find the hidden gifts that are within each of us and to break free from limiting beliefs that keep our true self hidden. I will give you just a little of Kelly's background. She is a mind, body, and wellness practitioner with a certification in life coaching and hypnotherapy. She has also been trained in a variety of holistic healing modalities as well, such as neuro-linguistic programming, holistic nutrition, past life regression therapy, homeopathic remedies, essential oils, psychology of intuition, energy healing, and Kelly, are there others
that
you're certified in?
I'm certified in hypnotherapy and life coaching, and the other ones are just classes that I took that goes with that. But I got a transformational psychology degree that goes with the mind-body wellness practitioner program. So I got trained in a lot of different holistic modalities. So there's quite a few others, but the main ones are life coaching and hypnotherapy.
And how would you say you're able to integrate all of these into the work that you do?
Well, you know, that was one of the things I struggled with at first, because I went on this learning journey, which I think so many people do when they feel the call, when they feel their soul's call to move in a specific direction. I became kind of a sponge, and I just wanted to learn everything all at the same time, and didn't even realize that I had been learning many of these things my entire life, because I've been reading self-help. I've been really involved in self-help since I was very young. It was just a passion of mine. And so when I went to school and learned all of these things, it became, how do I put it all together, and does it all work together? And I just had to really tune in and discover my own way of working with people. So really, I take, I think each individual person that I work with is different. It depends on the person, and it depends on what we're working on. But I always just ask to be a vehicle for spirit to guide me and to work through me. And so different things will come up. One session might be mostly energy healing and intuitive reading. Another one might be more focused on life coaching. Or another one, someone might want to experience past life regression, or I even work with people a lot to help them develop and understand their intuition and their spiritual gifts. So it really depends on the person, but I would say that you have to find your own, you have to kind of bring together everything. For me, I had to bring together everything and then just kind of ask to be guided as to what I need. It's kind of like a toolbox, you know, working with people. You bring forward the tools that you will best serve the individual you're helping.
It's something that I think each of us, each person listening, has within many, many gifts. And for people to be able to access those gifts and recognize them, is there something that you would advise for people to do or to look at to access those inner gifts that they have?
Yes, actually, you know, I talk about this a lot in, well, in intuitive life coaching, there's a lot of cards that I talk about this, but also in my podcast, Soul Keys, I dive deep into helping people discover their gifts. And one of the podcasts that I did was called Discovering Your Gifts. And I remember Spirit was guiding me to help people understand that a lot of times we don't realize that the gifts that each individual has is right in front of us. It's in the books that we read. It's in our hobbies. It's in the way that we interact with other people. It's all around us. But sometimes we're looking outside of ourselves, or we're thinking of our gifts as something specific, like maybe a talent. But really, each individual has a strength, and each individual has an energy essence that they came here to share with the world. And I don't believe that the world is whole unless we're all finding what it is that we came to share with the world. And sometimes it can be something as some, you know, it will seem simple. Like, for example, I never thought of myself as someone who had a talent, but as I really delve deep into my spirituality and my connection with my soul and my connection to spirit, I uncovered that I truly have a strength in communication and the ability to connect with people on a very deep level. And that becomes the gift that I have to share with the world. But at the time, I didn't look at it that way. I mean, that you just think that's just who you are. You don't think, oh, that's my strength. That's my individual energy signature that I have to bring and share or contribute. But oftentimes we just don't look at it that way.
That is very true. And I really loved what you just said about how each person has a gift to share with the world. And in a sense, the world is not complete until we each share those gifts. So it's almost like a puzzle where a piece is missing until someone recognizes their gifts and brings them to the world. Is that what you were saying?
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually very passionate about that, and that's one of the reasons why I love to talk about the subject and also help people discover that. And I think that like in the beginning when you said that, one of my things that I am passionate about is helping people, you know, release limited beliefs so that they can discover their true self. And I feel like when we're working toward discovering the real us, not the us that we think we are when we're comparing ourselves to other people, not the us that we think we should be when we're looking at our life as a whole and maybe even have different plans, or our parents might have different plans for us, but it's really the truest version of us. And in order to access the truest version of us, we have to let go of some of these learned ideas about who we think we are and just get to the core of it's almost like reconnecting and reinventing yourself and really re-getting to know yourself. Because for me, this journey has been all about my connection with spirit, my connection with soul, but also uncovering and discovering and healing through self-love. And I feel like when you do get to that, you can release all those doubts. You can release all the fears about, I'm not good enough. I mean, honestly, they'll always be there, kind of running in the background. But as you develop and really work on developing this connection with your inner self, it's not as pronounced as it used to be, and you start to see the value in the things that you might about yourself that you might not have considered as being strengths or gifts to share with others.
Sometimes I will say a prayer, in fact, almost every night, and I will ask for God to help guide me for the highest and best good for Beyond Words Publishing, for our employees, for bringing self-help works to the world. And this is something that I do, and I'm wondering, do you have something like that that you recommend for our listeners that they can do too?
Yes, I love that you do that because, to be honest, that's my version of success. There's different versions of what success might be, but my version of success is co-creating with spirit for the highest good of others. And when we ask, we like call up, you know, when we say the prayer, prayer is directing energy. Prayer is, you know, connecting with our higher self, with a higher power, with God. And when we ask to be of service, we learn that we are not alone, that we are, all these amazing magical things start to happen. And once you do live your life that way, you'll find that things don't go as smoothly when you're not directing or asking for guidance or going within to listen. And then you'll ask yourself, why isn't my life going the way I want it to go? Or why is things just not running as smoothly as they were before? And you realize it's because of this disconnect. And all it takes to shift that energy and to gain a greater understanding or awareness of the next right action or how to be of service is really to just, it's like calling up a friend, but, you know, we're directing energy through our prayer. So any prayer that like when you're confused or when you don't know what to do, it's because you're too much in the mental plane. If you're too much in the mental energy, which we all do all the time, I mean, that's just part of being human. But if we really want to live our life in a more divinely inspired way, we have to take time out to release that, you kind of go from the mental plane into the heart energy, and through the heart energy we can connect with the presence of God, the presence of spirit. We can ask to be a vehicle for God to work through us for the highest good of others, and when we do that, we get, life just becomes a lot more magical. We still have bad days and we still have our challenges, but there's this safety net, this feeling of support, this feeling of co-creation that comes with that. And truly, all it takes is just asking for that guidance, asking for that support. So I would recommend, depending on what a person is asking for, you know, if they're confused, if they're in emotional pain, if they're upset, or if they just need direction, to just go within, say that prayer, and ask for, we can ask for signs, we can ask for directions, we can ask to be a vehicle for spirit to work through us for the highest good of others. And when you find that you do that, I mean, the universe and God really does work through people. So it's amazing, because all of a sudden you'll feel hopeless, and then someone will extend an act of kindness to you, and we can feel blessed that the person did that for us. But we also need to remember that the universe and spirit and God works through people as well. So just any prayer that brings you back into your interconnection and helps you ask for guidance is going to be healing and magical.
Well, it's clear from what you said that we don't walk this earthly plane alone. There is, as you said, a safety net, a support system of spirit, of God, that's there to help each of us.
Absolutely. And when we feel like it's not, that's when we go into despair. That's when we feel, you know, at our lowest of lows, because to feel that we don't have that invisible, unseen, unconditional love and support is very scary and lonely. But when we can tap into that, it brings us a new sense of awareness, a new understanding about ourselves, about our connection, about unity even with everyone else.
You mentioned that in prayer you can ask God for signs. Is it possible that God could be giving you signs and you don't recognize them?
Well, you know, I think this is that's a great question, because I was just thinking about this yesterday, and I actually got this phrase in my head where I realized, especially in 2020, sometimes it feels like I'm in this waking dream. It's like I'm awake, but it's very similar to a dreamlike state for me, because I will look around and observe everything as almost being a mirror reflection of something that's going on within me. And that could be something that broke down on my car, or that could be something that, you know, or an animal that just crossed my path, or it could be a conversation or an argument that a disagreement or something that I had with someone in my life. It's always kind of not more so a reflection of the outer person or the outer situation, but it's more a reflection of what's going on within me. So I see so many different things, kind of like the waking dream of being a mirror reflection, and is fine, a guidepost of what is going on within me. And once you get into that place where you start to recognize that everything is kind of a mirror reflection, then the signs that we are asking for in regards to spirit bringing in, you know, support and letting us know this is the, you know, yes, you're on the right path or something like that, becomes a lot easier. And I think that you'll start to see more signs when you ask for them. But the key is also to know that spirit and, you know, a guidance and the connection with our higher selves, there's not a real true agenda there. It's not like God says, oh, that's, you shouldn't go to that job, or you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't do that. And although sometimes there's a destiny for us, there's just also, it's about evolution and it's about experience. So we will get into this pattern of thinking that we went down the wrong path, but it turns out that path or that challenge was exactly what we needed for the next cycle. So I think sometimes we can overthink things, and we want to know, we want to predict the future, but it's about trusting. It's about asking and then trusting what feels right, and then letting go of kind of this idea that there's this, you know, good versus bad, but then we can just acknowledge that it's all a part of our past. And I think that's a little different than the question you were asking, but when it comes to signs, there's so much around you. When you shift your inner world, you shift your outer world. And so when we ask for a sign, like, for example, if we say, God, higher self, universe, is this a healthy relationship or situation for me to be in? Usually when we ask a question like that, we already know the answer, but we're having a hard time, like, really trusting our inner self. But the more we go within our inner self, once we ask that question, we're just going to keep getting the same feedback over and over and over again. And it can be very subtle at first. It might feel like a poster that has a, you know, a saying about, it's time to part ways from the situation or something like that. But most often, to understand and interpret the signs, we have to let go of our attachments to what we want or expect or think should happen.
Or you could see a bumper sticker in front of you, or a special license plate that gives you a message. It's just exactly what you needed.
Absolutely. I was just talking about this. I drew the card today, the angel numbers, and a lot of times for me, if I see numbers coming in, numbers hold frequencies for me, and it's also the universe mirroring back to me maybe a question or an idea that I have or a thought, or, you know, is it time to move forward? And because we're getting those signs and those numbers all the time, really it becomes about trusting and recognizing that it's there, so we can take action.
So seeing numbers, like numbers that repeat, like 222 or 333, or these are all different signs that are right in front of us, and just acknowledging that they're there for us to help guide us. We're coming up, Kelly, on a little break for just a short time, but when we come back from break, maybe you can talk a little bit more about numbers and their meaning.
Okay.
Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Richard Cohen, your host, and today we have the pleasure of talking with Kelly T. Smith, who is the creator of the Intuitive Life Coaching Deck. And just before we went into break, we were talking about signs that the universe gives us. And one of the things that Kelly was talking about was the numbers that can show up. And she mentioned the angel card that she had pulled. Kelly, would you like to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So in the Intuitive Life Coaching Oracle card deck, there is a card that will help us understand when our angels and spirit guides are trying to help us because we're asking for guidance and they're giving us signs, but we might not be paying attention. And this card is called Angel Numbers. So I'm going to read that for us now, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So it says, pay attention to the signs your angels are trying to deliver a message. You see the signs on the clock and a text message or on a license plate or maybe in an email. Your angels have a message for you. Pay attention to all of the signs around you and you will soon have the answers that you seek. Perhaps you notice repeated numbers everywhere you go. You will know when your angels are communicating with you by the way that you feel. You may even notice goosebumps or chills that run up and down your body. Whatever the sensations, when you notice the angelic signs, they are also a sign to pay attention. You are under the care and protection of the angels, and you are divinely guided in all that you do. Your heavenly helpers are guiding you through synchronistic events and messages everywhere. Look for synchronicities everywhere you go, and don't dismiss the coincidences. Look for repeated numbers or number patterns such as 444, 1155, 777, and 999, and so on. A powerful way to interpret the numbers you are seeing is to meditate on them. Numbers hold within them an energetic vibration, a vibrational frequency or energy download. Ask your angels what the numbers mean for you specifically, and you are sure to receive an answer. Your angels are trying to communicate with you, so pay attention to all the signs that are all around you now. Magic and miracles are just around the corner. So that's the angel card message.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little about the last part that said that numbers hold vibrations. So I feel like if I see the number 555, which five in, you know, three numbers usually represents change, but also five means something specific to me because my birthday is May 5th and five is all throughout my numerology chart and it's been around me for as long as I can remember. So when I see or think of the number five, I always feel a very definite personal connection to that. So it might not just represent change for me because I interpreted that number as being like a good luck number for me because it's also my birthday and it's all around me and it always has been. So what I do is I might write the number out and sit with the number and just meditate on the number five. And when I do that, I like to tell people that depending on what numbers you're seeing, wherever you're going, you know, also ask yourself, what's going on with me right now? Is there a special significance to the number that I'm seeing? Like, if I associate the number five as a good luck, as that's my birthday, you know, then if I see it and I'm asking, should I take this opportunity? That's a definite yes for me. So I think that it's also important for people to feel into the energy of the signs around them. Like, what does it bring up for you? Does it make you feel a certain way? Do you associate that number with something specific? It could be a friend or a family member's birthday, or it could be something, you know, very personal to you. But also in meditation, when we meditate on the number five, we might start with the asking spirit the question, what is the number five trying to show me or bring to me? And I think that numbers are so fascinating because they elevate our vibration, and then they have their own vibrational frequency to them too. So as I meditate on it, it's almost like energy medicine for me, because it can bring in a new awareness just by meditating on the number. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I'm wondering, can you do the same thing, for instance, when you're going to sleep at night, can you ask that same question of yourself? So what is the number trying to show me, so that as you're sleeping, then maybe you're going to get those messages coming through when there are less distractions around?
Yes, so that's actually another card, and that's actually called the Universal Mind card. And so basically what the Universal Mind card talks about is that when in our waking hours, we get in our own way because we have an emotional attachment when we ask for a sign, you know, is this the love of my life or something, and but deep down we know it's not, or we know it's not healthy for us. We really want it to be. So we can almost confuse ourselves. So if we get into that place because we're too emotionally attached to something that we cannot allow the signs, or we can't see the signs, or we don't understand what they mean, then actually working with your subconscious mind at night and asking for, you know, your angels and guides or your higher self to bring you a message in your sleep is extremely powerful. Through my dreams, I always get guidance because I've been focusing and practicing on accessing guidance through my dreams for a really long time. And I think that dreams, again, that's probably why I get so fascinated and compare the waking life with the dream world, because the dream world and the waking world can easily kind of merge together for me. Kind of like, it feels like having deja vu all the time. So yes, working with your dreams at night is a powerful way, because you can move out of your way. You can let go of the emotional attachment. You can let go of the trying to control a situation. And when you ask the question over and over again, right before you go to sleep, you can wake up with this profound awareness of, oh, you just, like, either you just know, or you have an inspired idea, or you have a feeling, or a knowing, or you got a vision in your sleep. There's so many different ways that your dream can communicate to you.
You have talked a bit about how we each have angels and guides around us all the time. And for our listeners who may not have known that, and maybe this is a new idea or a new thought for them, we're just about to go into a break. When we come back, can you talk a little more about that, Kelly?
Sure.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We are back, and I was just asking Kelly if she could share with each of us a little more about angels and guides who are with us, who are around us, who help us, especially for any listeners who weren't aware of that, and how to know that they are there for us.
So in the Intuitive Life Coaching Oracle card book, there is a card that is the Heavenly Helper cards. So I think for me, the way that I see my angels and guides is kind of as a spiritual team for me. And that spiritual team could be a spirit guide. It can even be a spirit animal. It could also be an angel, an angelic guide. But it could also be a loved one on the other side. And so I think of my spiritual team as being closely connected to Source and God, being all higher vibrational energies that come into my life at specific times to kind of guide me in specific directions. And I might feel the presence of one over the other more depending on what's going on in my life. Like recently, I've just been feeling so much energy around spirit animals. Like I keep having the most profound vision of a specific spirit animal, and then I will actually see it everywhere. And so I feel that is a guide for me as well. Or I will have feelings or knowings, or not feelings or knowings, but I'll have I'll start seeing specific lights with my physical eyes. I might see blue lights, green lights, or pink lights just flash right out of the air, right out of the thin air. And through that is my knowing that I haven't, my angel team is around me, my spiritual team is around me, guiding me. And I feel like for each person, for each individual, I feel like it's their journey to understand their spiritual team in a personal way through also their connection with Source. But for me, when I see those colors, I know that, and I've established this connection, that it's something, I might relate, let's say, the color green to a specific angel, or I might relate the color white to a specific spirit guide, but through meditation, I have learned to connect and know who is around me and who is a part of my spiritual team. And I encourage people to do that, to find this personal connection through meditation, through working with their inner self, to connect with their spiritual team, whether it's their guides or even sometimes, like I said, our loved ones on the other side can kind of play the role as a guide for us in this lifetime as well.
For people who have not practiced meditation or meditated themselves, do you have some tips that you can share with them of how they can start this in a way that they know that they're actually doing it okay if they don't know how to do it at all?
Yes. Well, first I would say, because I work with a lot of people who have a hard time with meditation at first, so I would say for people who are having a hard time with meditation, first let's explain what meditation is. So meditation would be connecting in with our breath, and it's going to bring us into an altered state. It's going to help us to get, again, out of the mental plane and really connect with our inner self. But through connecting with our breath, at first, we will actually, it will feel like our mind is speeding up because it's actually venting out all that thought energy and all that mental energy. So I think that can be confusing for people at first because we have to learn to observe. We have to just learn to be still, to continue to focus on the breath and to observe, not try to shut it down, but also not try to connect in with it, but just allow it to kind of float up and out. And eventually our mind will just kind of empty out so much so that we'll get to this place of just complete stillness, this complete emptiness where there's no thoughts in our mind. And for a lot of people that can be challenging. And so I would suggest starting with 5 minutes a day and then increasing to 10 minutes a day and then increasing to 15 minutes a day. But if that's still challenging or hard to commit to for people, then I like to give them meditations, guided meditations, so hypnotherapies that are specifically designed that I've created, but there's also a ton of them also on YouTube that you could just go and you can find a guided meditation to help you connect inward, to help you meditate or specifically for deep relaxation, because I find that when when people are struggling with meditating, when they start to just use guided meditations for a while and then they come back to working with the breath, it seems to be a lot easier for them to do it that way.
Do you ever picture the breath as you're, say, you're breathing in through your nose? Do you ever picture that breath in color? And then as you breathe out through your mouth, that it's a different color?
Yes, so that's one of my favorite ways to meditate, is like through working with color. So depending on whatever I want to, let's say, each, just like numbers, colors hold a vibrational frequency within them too. So if I'm feeling very, very sad, I might really focus on the color pink, because the color pink or the color green is going to work with my heart chakra. It's going to bring in that unconditional love energy and that connection energy. And just through imagining that we're inhaling, like I'll say, inhale the color pink and imagine that color going through my nose. And then I'll exhale like the color gray and imagine anything negative leaving as I exhale. And I'll just keep doing that. And then I will feel an instant shift. I also recommend, like, again, for people who are having a hard time calming down the mental energy, the color blue is very calming, very soothing, and that color also will help kind of bring you into a more peaceful state. So, yes, I highly recommend working with color, like color breathing, color, and also you can look it up and learn more about it. But it's pretty simple, because as soon as you just start to work with it and visualize it or picture it, breathing it in, you'll start to be able to feel the difference. I think it can be pretty powerful, especially for people who are having a hard time meditating, to try that.
And if someone is anxious, or maybe they're feeling like they have a headache, or they're not feeling grounded, they're feeling out of sorts, can meditation help with that as well?
Absolutely, and I'd say the more spiritually, like, open you are, the more important it is to take care of your energy field. So, yes, being able to work with your energy field and clear your energy field in different ways and with color can help shift energy even with headaches.
Well, we're going to have another short break, Kelly, so when we come back, I would love it if you would share a little more with your listeners about how meditation can help with what we were just speaking about, with headaches, anxiety, and grounding.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. This is Richard Cohn, your host here on Positive Talk Radio, HealthyLife.net. And we're talking with our wonderful guest, Kelly T. Smith. Before our break, Kelly was just talking about how working with color in meditation and the breath, breathing in colors and breathing out, exhaling in different colors, how this can actually help us even sometimes if someone has a headache. Kelly, can you elaborate a little more on that?
Yes, and also I just pulled up the energy healer card, because I think that people who are listening to this who are discovering that they have energy, natural energy healing energies, I just wanted to read that card in a minute just to help people understand how important it is to work on their energy field when they're experiencing that. But yes, so one of my favorite ways for me to clear a headache, and when working with clients, I always ask them to imagine pouring a pitcher of blue light at the top of their head, like liquid blue light relaxation energy, and just blue light in general, because blue is going to neutralize that energy of irritation or stress or upset in any way. And as soon as we just imagine that color pouring, and we have to do it through a very relaxed place, but as soon as we imagine it pouring into our crown chakra and just filling our entire head with the color blue, you will feel, most people feel that I've worked with, the headache start to lift almost instantly. So, yes, working with color is powerful because, again, it is also energy medicine. So I'm going to read the energy healer card, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
So it says, your natural ability to heal yourself and others is needed now. You're an energy healer, a person with a natural ability to heal yourself and others. It's time to learn more about this amazing gift so that you can use it for the greater good. You also have the natural ability to see yourself and others as whole, perfect, and complete. You fully understand that when you align with this concept, the mind, body, and spirit begins to heal themselves naturally. You're being guided to pay close attention to your energy at this time. You may feel guided to work with your energy centers or chakras, spend time in meditation, allowing yourself to feel into and connect with those energy centers. Make note of the sensation that you feel in your body. Do you feel a heat, a fluttering, a lightness, or a heaviness, or a slight tingling sensation? Continue to breathe and sit with this energy on a regular basis. As you do, be compassionate and present with any feelings or emotions that come up for you. As you continue to work with energy healing, you may be called to a unique situation in which your natural abilities will be needed. You may be called to be a teacher of energy concepts such as Reiki or yoga. Without a doubt, energy healing is meant to be a part of your life path. Align with this path and use it to heal yourself and others naturally. So I wanted to read that. Kind of goes with the concept of working with meditation and color for healing.
Absolutely. And something that occurred to me, a lot of people are very sensitive. And for someone who is sensitive, it's sometimes hard to be around a lot of people where their energy may be coming at the person. If they're empathic, if they're an empath, they're going to feel all of that around them. Do you work with people who have learned how to maybe self-protect themselves, maybe create a little bubble around themselves of protective light, so that they're not bombarded with other energy that they aren't ready to take on?
Yes, so being an empath is something that I have really struggled with my entire life. I think before I could even put words to what I was experiencing, it's for people who are spiritually open, who are connected and can feel energy, you know, we can get to a place where we can completely confuse our energy with other people. And it's hard to say that out loud sometimes because it might feel like you're just whining or complaining, but it's real. And it's so real that depending on who you are or where you are or what you're around, you can almost start to mimic those feelings and those emotions of other people around you. What I do is I teach people to use their intention and to work with energy to help to shield them. But also, there's this article that I wrote that's called the Disempowered Empath versus the Empowered Empath. And the difference is that when we start to really work with our energy, when we start to understand our energy in comparison to other people's energy around us, we no longer feel like a victim because we're using our intention to shield ourselves, or even acknowledging when we're in a situation where we need to set a boundary and actually remove ourselves from the situation. It's really about honoring our sensitivity levels, but working with an energy shield, just like imagining you're putting yourself in a light bubble, or I would imagine that I am shielding myself with a waterfall around my energy field, and then with great intention, I will put an intention of I'm closed for business, almost like putting a close. I'm not receiving any energy in right now. I'm in healing mode, or I'm in protecting mode. And as soon as I set that intention, it actually becomes an invisible energy around me that will help me. Also, another thing you can do is use crystals and put them in your pockets. But the most important thing, I think, is learning to understand the energy that's coming in, and learning to, when we don't even realize that we were more open than we should be in certain places. So if we use our intention to kind of not shut down, but to shield ourselves and not be open to taking on other people's energies or emotions, then it actually plays a key role in our health, in our vitality, in our emotional states.
Wow. Well, I think our listeners today have learned so much about signs, guides and angels, meditation, unconditional love, energy healing, intention. And if they want to learn more about you and maybe some of your classes, can they go to, is it intuitivelifecoachingwithkelly.com?
Yes, it's www.intuitivelifecoachingwithkelly.com.
So when they go there, they can also, if they want to get a copy of your Intuitive Life Coaching Oracle deck, can they order that through you as well?
Yes, and so all the links and more information about the Oracle card deck is at my website.
Kelly, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to delve into the wisdom that you have garnered through a whole lifetime, through a life journey as an intuitive life coach, and to be able to share that wisdom with all of our guests. I think with all of our listeners, I think everyone is going to gain tremendously from this experience. And I think it's worth listening to more than once, because you shared so many tips for us.
Thank you, Richard. It was amazing to be a part of the show today. So thank you so much for inviting me.
You're very, very welcome. And do you have any last words that you'd like to share?
I guess I would like to say, too, that the Intuitive Life Coaching Oracle Cards deck, they were really designed to help people with everyday life situations. So they're also really good for helping people clear emotional blocks, or as well as connecting with their inner guidance. So yeah, it's just kind of an oracle for everyday life experiences.
Thank you again. Thank you again so much. And I look forward to pulling my own cards here now and seeing what life unfolds for me.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for having me.
Thanks for listening to HRNRadio.com.